for about half the market price for us. And so we're just so grateful for how he provides, you know, even the things, just practical, everyday things. We're just so grateful.
Like a car?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It won't. We like to have it on the recorder. We have people that need to be able to hear.
My husband and I have been married for over 30 years, and as you know, married couples struggle. But there was something that was repeated over and over again, and I was so angry. And you know, obviously, I talked to God, but I also asked for prayer. And I asked them specifically to pray for God to show me, because I didn't think there was, if there was something I needed to see and deal with myself. And where, because sometimes, I mean, we can only work with us, not the other person. And I had this huge breakthrough. I can't get into it all, but just some repeated actions of mine where I did not wait on the Lord. And so, like, I would get rid of something hoping, well, I'll just say, I always had the horses because Chuck was just kind of, he would come to work, go to work and come home. And I wanted to see some different things happening. And I had the horses because they kept me distracted and happy, and so that I wasn't bugging him. And so I would give him, I would get rid of them and give him a chance to, you know, a while. I don't even know how long. And I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm just going to do my thing. And so, and that happened 3 or 4 times. And this last time that I got rid of the horses, I know that God asked me to, and I know that I just told Chuck, I said, they're not coming back, so we either work this out or whatever. And but I asked God to show me, and he showed me, like, you didn't even give me a chance to work. So part of the reason I'm sharing this is not to put bad light on Chuck, he's a good guy, is to remind all of us that when we ask, he'll answer, but we have to be willing to hear. We have to be willing to see our own stuff. And I wasn't mature enough, and there was other things going on, too. There was a lot of distractions. And this was the time. So if you're still going through the same stuff, don't worry. When it's time, God will bring you the right stuff. But he just showed me this time, as you've already made your choice, they're not coming back. I need you to let me work, because you can't change anyone. And some of the stuff is just healing from traumas. We all have childhood traumas that need to occur. And there's a cartoon I saw recently about a guy trying to help a woman up a cliff, but he's got a boulder on her back, and there's a rattlesnake in the cliff. And we just don't see what other people are dealing with. And so that's one of the reasons that we always need to be willing to allow God to speak to us, because I kept thinking, I've done enough, I keep changing enough, and I'm tired. I think we all feel that way. But when we let go, he can move mountains, and I'm expecting some really cool stuff to happen over the next year. And I'm working again now in a field I never thought I would, and it was a gift from God. I was going to get rid of my license, and I was asked to come to the place I'm at, so that's another blessing.
Oh, Father, you're good. Lord, we thank you for your presence today. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Lord, just whatever else you want to do in this service today, Father, we give it to you. We pray that you would touch people. Father, I pray that today, even in our service, there would be healing virtue for, Father, deliverance, freedom, liberty for the captives. Father, we want to come expecting that when we come into your house, that the presence of God is going to move and do what we cannot. Father, we give you free rein to do whatever you want, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, I got up bright and early today, and I got a nice PowerPoint presentation all ready. And then the projector went pow! So, I had this rather unattractive picture for my first screen, and I'll let you see it. You won't be able to read what it says, but if a picture speaks 1,000 words, if you can get a glimpse of this thing, this hideous-looking cat, and it says, stress, the confusion created when one's mind overrides the body's basic desire to choke the living daylights out of somebody else who desperately needs it. Have you ever had that conflict? Oh, I will. Have you ever had that conflict in your brain? Stress, the confusion, one type of stress, the confusion created when one's mind overrides your basic desire to choke the living daylights out of somebody else who desperately needs it. This person is like, I want to let them have it, but I can't. Stress. We've heard a lot about stress. It's a big buzzword. And its effects on people's physical and mental health. We live what I would say is an incredibly fast-paced life in America. And I know that because every missionary that comes through here, they all tell us, if we're having church in Zaire or Niger or whatever, we'd still be going till 5 o'clock tonight. You know, they were going, and people would be showing, you know, if church started at 10, people would show up for church at noon, you know, they wander in. If you have an appointment for something, if you say, oh, I'll come by your house tomorrow at 9, and they wander in at noon, you know, it's a whole different lifestyle. In America, it's like this. I'm amazed, I've talked to so many people who've retired from their jobs, and over I hear them say, I'm busier now than when I was working. I don't know how I ever found time to work because I'm so busy. Just the fast pace of life, and I have to be careful in my own life that I don't get on the hamster wheel, because that stress can just build up and build up and build up and build up and build up inside. And unchecked stress, I love going online and looking at all these horrible symptoms. Unchecked stress can lead to aches and pains, chest pain, exhaustion, trouble sleeping, headaches, high blood pressure, weak immune system, depression, panic, sadness. Do I need to go down anymore? We've heard enough. I don't want to hear any more of that. Enough. Stop. And, you know, people have, you know, really poor, unhealthy coping mechanisms to deal with stress in the world. People turn to substance abuse or gambling, overeating. But today I want to talk to you about the opposite of stress, and that would be peace. And what God's will is for His people is to be people whose hearts are at peace. Do you know how much people spend today to try to end up with peace because they don't have it. Inner peace. If you just go online and you type in inner peace, oh my gosh, it just blows up. And, you know, and people are spending money on antidepressants and it just all therapies and counseling and I'm not saying that those things are not always necessary, but wow, what God wants for us is peace. Now, if you look up the word peace in the dictionary, it says the absence of conflict. I would say that is not a very good definition of peace. I would say that's not a very good definition of peace at all, because you can have an absence of conflict and have all kinds of stuff in here. John 16:33. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. That word peace there is the Greek word eirene, and it just means quietness and rest. Would you like to have quietness and rest on the inside? Oh, God. So, but you'll notice that he pairs that with something else. He says, in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. So in Jesus you'll have peace, and in the world you're going to have trouble. So throw out the whole lack of conflict definition. That was just dumb. You're going to have trouble. Trouble, persecution, affliction, distress is what it literally means. Notice that Jesus tells them, in him they'll have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Peace and tribulation, side by side, right there next to each other. How on earth do you have peace and tribulation at the same time? I don't know. I don't like that. Jesus said, I have told you these things. What things? What things is he talking about? Well, you've got to go all the way back to John 13, because Jesus starts this long discourse. You want a good lesson in peace, start reading John 13 and read all the way through chapter 16. One thing that Jesus says over and over to them is, I'm leaving. I'm going away. I'll only be here a little while longer. I'm going back to the Father. Oh, he says it, I didn't count how many times. He says it over and over. I'm leaving, but I don't want your hearts to be troubled. I'm telling you these things. John 13, he begins to tell them only there a little longer, but that they should love each other. And then John 14, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Then he says that he'll send the Holy Spirit. Then he tells them he's going away again and he's coming back, but he promises them peace. Then he talks about how he is the vine, that they need to stay connected to him, even though he's leaving. And then he promises persecution. And then John 16, continued promise that he's leaving and going back to the Father, and that persecution will come, but their grief will be turned to joy. And then we come to verse 33, where he pairs peace and tribulation. So it's apparent that peace and trouble may come side by side, right alongside each other. So how do we have peace and trouble? How do we do that? One interesting thing, if you wonder why I'm flipping here, this is my PowerPoint. And I went to try to print it off, and it printed them one at a time in these gigantic pages. So it's not that I need better glasses, it's just I couldn't. Yeah, my wife said, you're not going to hold those up, are you? John 14:27. So if you want to take notes or whatever. I'm sorry I don't have them up on a screen for you today. John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Notice that there's a command in there. Did you catch it? He doesn't say, I'm going to give you peace, everything's going to be okay. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not. Wow. So there's a command in that. So what does that say about peace? Peace is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a choice. Did you realize that peace is a choice? Peace is a state of being aside from your emotions. Oh yeah, it'll affect your emotions. Oh yeah, if you have peace. If you don't have peace, you know how you feel. Rotten, horrible, miserable, upset, cranky, kick the dog, yell at your wife, you know, all that stuff. Go to school and yell at the kids, sit down. You know, but it certainly will affect your emotions, but it's not an emotion. It is a decision. There are three types of peace in the scripture that I want to talk about today. There is what I would call, and these are my titles, so they're not very theological. There's upward peace, inward peace, and outward peace. Upward, inward, and outward. And I'd like to take just a minute and look at each one of those. The first and the most important is the upward peace, and that is peace with God. In Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to read through to chapter 5, but and remember that when you're reading your scriptures, it's so important to realize that those chapter breaks are not supposed to really be there. They're a matter of convenience. Sometimes it breaks up a complete flow of what is being said by interrupting it with a chapter break. Romans 4:23 through chapter 5, verse 1. Now the words, "it was credited to him," were written not only for Abraham. Now, Paul is talking about how Abraham was justified by his faith, and that it was credited to him for righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him, were written not only for Abraham, but also for us, to whom righteousness will be credited, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our trespasses and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace is a settled issue with God if you have accepted Jesus. And that seems like a simplistic and obvious statement. If you've been a Christian, in your brain you probably know it, except that I meet a lot of people in churches and in Christian circles who don't sense peace with God. They fight condemnation, they fight guilt, they fight all kinds of worry and negative feelings because the enemy continues to attack their mind. They haven't appropriated the peace that God wants them to have with him. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a good thing, because there is judgment for people who have not. Psalm 7, 11 and 12, "God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If one does not repent, God will sharpen his sword." Does that sound like a good thing? No. But if you are in Christ, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Period. Right there. If some of your Bibles have something else written there, I'm convinced it's not true. There's an extended version that comes from the Greek Textus Receptus in the King James. I don't accept it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Period. Period. Right there. If you're in Christ, you are not condemned. You have been changed from death, taken from death to life. And if the devil comes around, you can put the sign out, this is no fishing. Don't come fishing here. There's nothing to catch. Go away. Peace with God. Settle it in your heart. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. Don't accept the guilt of the enemy. Don't accept his condemnation. Number two, inward peace. Upward peace and then inward peace. And inward peace, this is a tricky one because, you know, we're emotional beings and we get all stirred up and our insides get stirred up and, you know, we feel this way and we feel that way and we get pushed and pulled and our minds tell us that our inward peace is dependent on our outward peace or the lack thereof. But you remember that verse we just talked about? Jesus said, in me you'll have peace, in the world you'll have tribulation. You can have peace on the inside regardless of what's going on the outside. Jesus just spent four chapters in John dispelling the whole idea that your inward peace is dependent on your outward peace, because it's not. And if you wait around for that to happen, you're going to be a disappointed camper because it just doesn't come that way. You'll have seasons maybe where you have peace in your situation, and then you're going to have times where you don't, and you just like, God, what is going on? But you can have peace either way. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Or in other words, do not worry. Do not worry. Oh, how many of you have a problem with worry? My hand goes up, my other hand goes up. God have mercy, but worry. Because the enemy knows if he can worry you, he's got your peace. If he can make you worry, he's got your peace. He's won a battle. He can't. Maybe he can't take your salvation from you. Maybe he can't destroy your faith, but he can steal your peace, make you worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, some of your versions say supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I found it interesting in quote, and I like it. It's not scripture, but it goes along with this. Stress comes from trying to do it all on your own. Peace comes from putting it in God's hands. You know, stress comes when you try to do it. Peace comes when you put it in God's hands. Peace, again, it is a choice. It is a decision. It's an act of your faith to trust God, to bring that. And again, this is where the devil is going to want to attack you. Put your eyes on the storm instead of on Jesus. You remember the battle that Peter had when it's Matthew chapter 14, and Jesus is walking on the water. And why it entered Peter's mind, I'm not sure how it entered Peter's mind to say, hey, call me and I'll walk out to you. I'd be like, no, Jesus, you come on over to the boat. Come on over here. But somehow Peter in his brain was like, cool, I want to walk on the water. Call me out there. And so he does. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, command me to come to you on the water. Come, said Jesus. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. eyes on the storm instead of on Jesus. And Peter walked on the water until he stopped looking at Jesus. He walked on water. How do you do that? Well, he looked at Jesus. Once he stopped looking at Jesus, that's when he wasn't able to stay up anymore. Remember our friend Martha? I've brought her up so many times in the last few weeks. But Jesus comes to Martha's house. She invites him in, and then she's like, "Ah, I gotta feed these people." And she starts working, and she just kind of goes crazy trying to do everything, and she gets really, really stressed out. She's, "I've got so much to do." And then she looks, and then what does she do? She looks over, and there's her sister sitting there, lazy. You know, when you're stressed and you feel like you got too much, the first thing you want to do is, then you start to grumble about other people. How come they're not helping? So what does she do? She goes to the big guy. "Jesus, tell her to get off her lazy bottom and help me. She's sitting there." Because she's all freaked out. "Martha, Martha," the Lord replied, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is necessary." What was Mary doing? Martha was looking at everything that needed to be done, and Mary was looking at Jesus. She was looking at him, eyes on him, not on the storm. Martha had stress. Mary had peace. She was enjoying his presence. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't pour our hearts out to the Lord. You know, if you're in a time where you need to, just read the Psalms. My goodness. David was like, "God, why have you forsaken me? All my enemies, this everything is horrible." But what he did was David poured out his heart to the Lord and he left it there. Yeah, pour out your heart to the Lord. You can dump on the Lord. He doesn't mind that. He doesn't mind it. But leave it there. Once you pour your heart out, leave it there. Leave it with him. And then understand that the peace of God can now reign. You've dumped it on him. You've given it to him. Don't pick it up again. Oh, pour it out and then leave it there. Upward peace, inward peace, outward peace. There might not be any. There might not be any peace because Jesus promised us trouble. He promised us that there's going to be stress in life. We live in a world that's broken by sin, and Jesus talked about all of the problems that the Christians were going to face, the persecutions and all of that would face with the world. And, I mean, just look at all the problems that people have with each other without even Jesus being involved in it. It's just, we've got all kinds of conflicts throughout the ages. People have made all kinds of trouble for each other because of sin. So there's not a lot of peace in the world, and the world will try to pile misery on you. And the world will try to tell you what you should do and what you shouldn't do, how much of it you should or shouldn't do, what you should be, what you should look like, where you should live, what you should do, should. The world wants to should on you. And that is the truth. The world will just want to pile misery on you. Stress is in who you think you should be or who others tell you you should be. Peace is who you are. Do you get that? Stress is in who you think you should be. Peace is in who you are. That means your identity. Who are you? You are a child of God. You are a son, a daughter. You're a prince, a princess in the kingdom of God. That is the reality. That's the reality. That's why Jesus, when he stood in front of Herod, he didn't say a thing. He knew who he was. He didn't have to defend himself. He didn't have to make a case. No, I'm really innocent. Well, he knew he was going to have to go through what he had to go through anyway. But Jesus was confident in himself. He knew who he was. And he had peace in that. Wow. My PowerPoints keep me in line here. I gotta watch it. People and the devil will try to pile up shoulds on you. Matthew 11:28-30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's another word in the Greek for peace. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When it's that word easy there, it just means useful, gentle, good. When you get under a burden and a load that's just too much and it's too heavy and it's crushing you down, you need to take inventory and say, have I assumed something upon myself that I shouldn't have? It's a Jesus yoke. Now, you can deal with a lot if Jesus is in it. It says his burden is light, easy to bear. It's not crushing. Jesus won't crush you. He won't give you a burden that's too heavy. We had a girl in Fredonia. I think I've probably told this a few times, but she had a crushing, crushing burden. It just was absolutely too much for her. She had gotten some false teaching, and she was living underneath this thing of who she should be, and she had gotten some teaching that she needed to unequivocally submit to her unsaved parents, even though she felt God calling her somewhere else. Someone told her, it doesn't matter. You have to submit yourself to your parents because you're under them. You're not married. It was crushing the life out of her. She lost all of her joy, all of her peace. You should do this. You should do that. She came up one day for prayer in the church. This was in the church in Fredonia, and the pastor was gone, and I was ministering that day. And she just started crying and crying at the altar. And someone came up and told me, they just said, "Spirit of false burden." The devil had put a false burden on her that was just too heavy, and it was ruining her life. It was stealing her joy. It was sucking the life out of her. And I remember I walked over and we laid hands on her, and I commanded the spirit of false burden to release her. And it just, something went. And she stopped crying. And she just said, I feel so much better, but I don't know why. And then we talked, and we discovered this false burden, this weight that was just too much. It was too heavy, and it was what God did not want her to have. So, upward peace, inward peace, and you can deal with the outward stuff. You can walk with the outward stuff, but you cannot walk with the outward stuff if you haven't got the upward. That's ultimately where your peace is going to come from. Being in right relationship with God and knowing who you are. Having an identity that is settled in Christ. Knowing who you are, the person you are. Then you know that, like Jesus, the accusations of the world, all of the shoulds, all of that stuff, that doesn't have to bear you down and crush you down. You can walk with it. Upward and inward, regardless of the outward peace. The scripture does tell us, as much as lies in you, live at peace with all men. So we do the best we can on our part to live at peace with people. But as I've often said, you are only responsible to build your half of the bridge. When you try to build the whole bridge and go over to somebody, that's where you get into trouble. You have to let somebody build their half of the bridge to you. So we build our half of the bridge out, and you stand there and you put flowers out and you make a bench, you make it look nice, you wave to people, but and you're like, hey, hi. But do not try to build their half. That it's kind of that way even with our salvation. God says, draw nigh to me and I will draw near to you. He has offered that salvation to us and we receive it by faith. And it's the same thing in working with people in the world. Well, glory to God. Father, we thank you that it's your heart's desire for us to have peace. Peace in the inward person. And Father, our lives don't always engender peace because there's suffering, there's difficulty in the world, there's things that come. And yet you still tell us that you want us to have hearts that are at peace and at rest, but we take hits sometimes. We take wounds. We get emotional wounds. We get physical wounds. And things really hurt. But Father, we thank you that there is a balm in Gilead and that you're able to bring healing and restoration to every difficulty, every wound, Father, and to bring peace. And Father, sometimes peace seems distant if we've been really hurt. But Lord, I know that you are able to heal every hurt, every bruise on the inward person, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual. Father, you're able to do that and to bring peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And Lord, if there are people here today that need to experience emotional healing, Father, from things that have come and have tried to steal their peace, difficulties that came, because we know that we're promised that in this world we will have trouble. Father, I pray that you would bring a depth of healing to people's hearts and souls that they're longing for, that maybe has seemed elusive. Father, help them. Help them to walk out of the pain of those things and into real peace. Father, I know you're able. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you would like prayer, we are going to have our business meeting in just a little bit. We'll start up in maybe 15, 20 minutes or so. But if you want prayer, we want you to be able to come and have that. So if you're here today and you'd like prayer, you can feel free to come now. And if not, we'll reconvene in just a little bit with our business meeting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.